Okay, we'd like to welcome everyone out tonight to our CBRA meeting, February 10th, 6 o'clock regular meeting. We'll start off with the roll call.
Lynn.
Here.
Jake.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Russ.
Here.
Robbie.
Here.
Kate.
Here.
Okay, next is approval of amendments of our January 13th. That needs to be changed to 26 on our agenda. Still 25. Minutes.
Oh, okay.
Just noticing that on the agenda, it says the June 13th, 25. It's for the 26th regular CBRA meeting. Any questions on those minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the January 13th, 2026, and I'll fill in the CBRA meeting.
All second. Okay, the motion by Kate, seconded by Lynn. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is approval of claims. Invoice register dated January 1. Again, we'll have to change dates. 26 to January 31st. 26. And then out of 20. The amount of $299,030.
You want to get a check? Move.
I did the actual claims, right? I just made sure that it said 26.
Yeah, the claims are correct. It's just, yeah, it's just the agenda.
Just the agenda, so.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the invoice register of January 1st, 2026 to January 31st, 2026 in the amount of 200 and, well, hold on, there's a difference there. Yeah, there's 298 and 299. I'm trying to understand that.
Is it because it's adding that 612?
It's adding the 612 on there, but that doesn't match the amount that's on the. Well, okay, so that's worse. Start over. And I'll make a motion to approve the invoice register January 1st, 2026 to January 31st, 2026. $299,030.
Okay, a motion by Kate, seconded by Bolt, to approve invoice register dated January 1st, 2026 to January 31st, 2026 in the amount of $299,030. Roll call.
Lynn.
Yes.
Yes.
Russ.
Yes.
Robbie.
Yes.
Kate.
Yes.
Okay, Mom, we'll turn some time over to you.
Okay, I'll be moving quickly tonight. We'll have a little bit of break between the meetings.
Okay, first of all, all of the reimbursement requests have gone through. We noticed that check for $258,000. We use accrual counting. We're holding the check.
Okay.
What's happened is that there have been changes at UDOT. When we started this project, Nancy Jerome was the other regions over this project, and then she was replaced by Donna, and then after Donna, she was replaced by the new guy, Josh Peterson. We had some problems getting things processed, but we have got it straightened out now, and we should be able to be getting a final check for the state treasurer's office in the next few days. And then the only thing that's left outstanding yet is $30,000 left on the Equestrian Center. That was a $300,000 grant. We got $270,000 with $30,000 pending. They've approved the final inspection. For the park project, and that was the $288,000 grant. We got $216,000 previously, and they've submitted the final $72,000. So we're wrapping up all those projects in a timely manner. On Main Street, we're still proceeding with the $200,000 restoration. We could have got a separate another grant for $50,000, but I focused on Larry Barron's building, and we ran into some communication issues. But we still still got money in reserve to do that. In the meantime, we've received money available to us from the Mormon Pioneer National Heritage Area, and so we're in a position now, we're wrapping up, let me pull it on for a second, in a position now that we can continue to have all the apartments ready to go in both the Wasatch Block and the Triangle Apartments. Right now we have a tenant in number 5. I cannot comprehend why we have such a hard time of making a turnover at number 6, but I won't comment on that. Now, in the meantime, number 9 is ready to occupy for the next few days. And like I say, we'll be providing a grant to the RDA to do the east side of the Wasatch Block building. We've got an engineering study on that done a while back by Sunrise, and we've got the money to go ahead and move forward to repair that, and also to put a new furnace and air conditioning system in number 8. We got a person waiting to go in there. So we had somebody move out. Rebecca, she moved out of her apartment number B upstairs. We had a waiting list, and suddenly we moved in there immediately after we cleaned the carpet. So everything's going well in the apartments. Good restoration work there. We're wrapping up the grants. And one of the interesting things we're doing right now through the RDA as a chair community of the Mormon Heritage Area, we're working with the Mellon Foundation. There's I think you've had a chance to meet with Don Unger. And what we're doing here, we're doing a nationally, he's doing an oral history of all, like I mentioned before, but I'll kind of bring it up today, an oral history of downwinders. Used to be only 10 counties qualified previously, but now it's the entire state of Utah. It used to be that the board, you cut off at UF County, where you got over, like for example, I'm a downwinder, still waiting for my $100,000 check, but I had to qualify. But anyway, they stopped at UF County, but not Payson, where I was a downwinder. And so what we're doing with this, there's a nationally distributed show we're doing with interviews and putting them on tape, but in the meantime, Don Unger, he's in Nevada today, but he'll be back here tomorrow. We're putting him up in a guest got boxcar down at the train, and he's doing a fantastic job. Again, he's a Mellon Foundation fellow, and it's going to be an amazing thing, and he's got amazing stories that he's getting this oral history on. But one of his biggest benefits is he's helping people find grandparents, for example, or parents. In one case, Bill's got a second. I'd like to have him give me a personal story about what happened with you in terms of the people in your family being downwinders, because he loved your interview, by the way.
Oh.
Tell us a little bit about the downwinder story you have.
Well, my dad was down on the desert by the test site when they set it off, first place. And so my brother, later on, he put in for it. I don't know how many years ago it was. But I was only, at the time, I was 4 years old. And so it was just all foreign to me. I never paid any attention to it. Neither did the rest of my family. But through Don, he opened up a whole bunch of avenues. And so we got a meeting with the whole family in March. We're going to meet up at my sister's place, and he's going to set up the camp with the whole family.
So. You love talking to your family. Now, in the meanwhile, here are the guidelines. There's a whole list of all the cancers that qualify. If you lived in Utah, the whole state now is in the area. If you lived in Utah between 1951 and 1962, you qualify as a downwinder. You have to have a certain type of cancer, but the list is 25. For example, I have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, the subdivision is follicular lymphoma. And I was diagnosed in 2009 and treated. And so I did a lot of stuff with the Huntsman Cancer Institute. They told me I had a year to, 3 months to a year to live if I didn't do chemo, and I did chemo, and I did radiation, and they couldn't get over how well I came out. And so they did a story about me with kicking cans with my boots on. And so I have a personal story to tell, but it's been great to find people. I've identified and given him the names of people to be interviewed. I've also given him names of people that we've been able to find cases with. Couple of cases, I was able to help a couple of people in Spring City where their former spouse had died from cancer. They're applying for that. So it's a great project. It's somewhere moving forward. It's coming under the auspices of the RDA.
Okay. Second?
I'll second.
Jake will second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Are we down for the